we've been discussing the last couple of weeks, one of the key questions of Schirus is the idea that Schirus is a contract, Schirus is a kinyan, and if things change afterward, how does that affect the contract? Do we say, well, too bad, you entered into the contract, or do we say, no? We discussed various examples. We discussed the case of Nafal Beis Hashel Masker, where the landlord lost his own home and wants to take the rented property back. We discussed cases where people promised to provide utilities or other things, and then the prices moved. We discussed the case of the Kaddish, various cases. One of the most contentious and most practical cases that arises is in the end of our siman, in Sif Yud Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch brings it in, Mechaber himself, that if someone rents a house and the house collapses during the term of the lease, again, a fixed duration lease, the house collapses, so the Shulchan Aruch says that in a standard lease, the landlord doesn't have to fix the property, the lease is over, the lease terminates with the collapse of the house. Ella, however, mechashev amashin eshtamish bo machzel eshara schirus. What you do is you prorate how much of the rental term the house remains intact for, and for the rest, the rent is returned. And from the poskim, it's clear, from a number of the major poskim, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba, a number of major poskim, makes no difference if the rent was paid in advance or not. If the rent wasn't paid, the rent wasn't paid at all, for example, you just pay up to the time. If it was 6 months in and there's another 6 months to go, if the rent wasn't paid at all, you owe 6 months of rent. If the rent was paid for the whole year, he gives you back the other half of the rent. Makes no difference if it was paid or not. He's only entitled to rent for the time the house was standing, and not more than that. Now, we're going to discuss now that there's actually considerable debate about this. It's kind of surprising. The Gemara never really directly addresses this question. The basic halacha in Sif Yud Zayin comes from a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says that when you rent a house, you say, "Bai Yizeh, I'm renting you this house," and the house collapses, azdala, that's it, the lease is over. But the Gemara's focus there is on whether the landlord has to provide a new house or fix it, and the answer is no. The Gemara is not really discussing the question of what happens to the rent. Many Rishonim say that the Gemara means that the rent is simply, well, I think common sense, most of us would assume that the rent is simply paid up till that point and not further. The rest is refunded, but it's not clear in the Gemara. But it is, however, the consensus of a number of Rishonim, and that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The problem is that the Ramah, as explained by the Sma, the Ramah brings a shita of the Tshuvas Maimonides. The Tshuvas Maimonides, the Hagos Maimonides, the same group of Rishonim, they bring a tshuva of Rabbi Shimshon ben Avram. The Rabbi Shimshon ben Avram said no. He was talking actually about a slightly different case where the house burned down in the middle of the term. Sounds superficially, it should be the halachically the equivalent. The house burned down rather than collapsing. And the Tshuvas Maimonides says no. The Rabbi Shimshon ben Avram said no. He said that the tenant owes all the rent, and even if he hasn't paid, he has to pay the rent. And the way he looks at it is, it's analogous to a sale. He says, when you buy something, you go into a car dealership, I don't want to start with car dealerships now and problems happening with cars, but you go into a car dealership, you buy a car, whatever the Kenyan is, whatever Kenyan you make that Kenyan, a second later a meteorite falls and smashes the car, that's your problem. You paid for it, it's yours, you didn't pay for it, you pay for it now, it makes no difference. Once a Kenyan was made, once the deal is binding, what happens afterward is too bad. Karka, the same thing, you do a closing on a house, before you even leave the office, the house burns down. As long as the house was intact at the time of the closing, there was no mum, there was no mechachtos. Happened a second later, before you ever saw the house, before you took possession, it doesn't matter. Once it's yours, it's yours. And Rabbi Shimshon ben Avram understood that Tzchiris works the same way. When the house burns down, the same thing. It says, Mistavra afilu akol chayv l'shal masocher, to brishuso nafo. The cholim eis Tzchiris emai is brishuso. It's in your rishus, it's your house that burned down. Tzchiris yom memkaru, your house burned down. Mazal Garam, Rashi's Lashon is. And the truth is, even though we mentioned that many Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch understand the Gemara not like that, they understand that Nafal Azdala means you don't pay, the Ritva actually brings Machlokas about it. The Ritva acknowledges that the Ramban says you don't pay rent, but he brings B'Shem Rabbeinu that you do pay the rent. He says when the Gemara says Nafal Azdala, the Selcher has to pay.
Even for the remaining time.
Even for the remaining time, yes, exactly. He makes explicitly the analogy again to a sale. You bought the house, you made a kinyan, you haven't paid yet, so what? Your house burns down, falls down, your problem, you pay for it. And in the notes, they say that's the same shita, it seems, as the Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Avram in the Tshuvas Ammonius. Now, it seems that's a Das Yachid. It seems that the Iker, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, is no direct chalik over there at the Ramah, maybe, but it seems that that's the main sheet in the Rishonim. There is, however, one other place in Shulchan Aruch where a very similar machlokas arises. That is in Siman Shin Lamed Dalet. Siman Shin Lamed Dalet is in the middle of the halachas of the laws of Poalim, of employment, but there is a sif there in the Ramah that deals with our sugya of houses. The case there they talk about is, instead of the house burning down or collapsing, what happened was the tenant died. The tenant entered into a 12-month lease, and the tenant died in the middle of the lease, halfway through. And the question is the estate of the tenant still on the hook for the remainder of the lease? The landlord says, we have a deal, 12 months. Now, obviously, the Yarshim themselves are not Mechuya, but if they inherited Mechasim from their Marish, that estate should be on the hook for the remainder of the lease. The Yarshim say, we don't want it, we have our own house, we don't want to live in this neighborhood, it's not, we have, our friends don't live here. Too bad. The lease is binding, we don't care what happened afterward, just like if you bought the house, if your father bought the house and died a day later, you couldn't come back and say, well, now he's dead, we want to sell the house back to you. It doesn't work like that. So that is what the Rashba, the Chuvah Rashba, holds over there, that once you entered into a lease, the lease is binding, and you cannot... You cannot break it in the middle of the... Sorry, not the Rashba, that is the Maram over there. That the lease is binding. Again, it's like a sale. The Rashba himself disagrees over there. The Rashba says that no, that the lease is only valid insofar as initial conditions remain in place. As soon as the facts change, the lease can be broken by either party. These two shitas are brought by the Ramah in Shin Lamed Dal. He says that the names I said were backwards, and that the Maram over there says, Maram says you only have to pay for the as long as the person who bought it was alive, and the Rashba says. That know that the lease remains binding even afterwards, it's like a sale. That is a very similar Stanley Machlokas. A number of Achronim, including the Nesivus and the end of our Simon, bring these two Shitas together. The Nesivus actually says that the Rashba in both cases is the same Rashba, he says. That they're just like the Rashba over here by Nistrof Abayas says, house burned down, you still have to pay the rent for the remainder of the term. It's because it's like a sale, and the Rashba over there says that just because the lessee died in the middle of the lease, doesn't matter, it's like a sale, you can't reverse the sale in the middle. Other Achronim point out, the Nesivus seems to have been making a basic mistake here. Yes, they are both the Rashba, they're two different Rashbas. The Rashba over there is a Tshuvas Rashba, the Rashba that we refer to as Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Adareth, Rabbi Shlomo Ben Avram Ibn Adareth, while the Rashba and the Tshuvas Maimonides is one of the Balei Tosfos, or Shimshon ben Avram, both go by the acronym of Rashba, the two different Rashbas, but Eich Shiyah, the many Achronim point out that they seem to be roughly the same two Shitas, that very similar question, whether the house burns down, whether the person himself dies, no longer needs the house. In both cases, do we look at it like a sale, in which case sales are final, or do we say, no, it's not a sale, it's just an ongoing arrangement that as long as the conditions remain in place, the deal remains in place, the deal can be altered or broken if things change. Now, the Rashba, the Tshuvas Rashba, in the case where the lessee died, where the tenant died, the Tshuvas Rashba invokes the principle of Schiwis Liyomei Memkar. This is something we discussed when we learned Ona. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, Schirus, a rental arrangement, Liyomei, for the duration of the rental, Memkaru, is like a sale. The point of the Gemara is that just like Ona applies to sales, Ona applies to Schirus too. Because Schiris is also a sale. It's a short-term, temporary sale, but it's also a sale. And this rule is then adopted by the Poskim and is Poskim invoke this rule in many cases to say, we treat, as we've been saying all along, we treat a contract, we treat a rental arrangement like a sale, and that it is binding, and just like a sale couldn't be reversed, we don't reverse a rental arrangement either. The Beis Yosef and Ar Simon actually, in Shin Yud Beis, brings that Rashba. Well, he doesn't bring the din, he's just been in the Shulchan Aruch, but he brings the Rashba and the Beis Yosef. The Bach says, what do you mean? We discussed these things back when we learned our Noah. The Bach says, not so simple. Bach says we don't actually pass considerations on Memkarhu in general. Even though, yes, the Gemara says it in the context of Arna, but Tosfos over there says that the principle has very limited scope. It's a special halacha in Arna because of Gzeres HaKasuv. In general, we don't say considerations on Memkarhu. And this is something, we discussed back when we learned Arna. We're not going to rehash all the old arguments over there. But in general, this is a major debate among the poskim. What exactly is the scope of Schirus and Memkarhu? Throughout Hilchas Schirus, throughout Hilchas Polim, throughout this area of Choshen Mishpat, you will find in many cases, on the one hand, Poskim will often be invoking Schirus and Memkarhu to tell you that Schirus is treated to some extent like a sale. On the other hand, anytime the Poskim use that to do anything too controversial about which is some basis for debate, you'll find other Poskim, like the Bach in this case, pushing back and saying, well, we don't pass in Sirius on Amkarhu. We pass in only the Gabe or not. It's Xeris Akasim. It doesn't have general applicability. The Shach in Simon Shin Lamed Dalad, the Shach actually is not so happy with the sheet of the Rashba. And the Shach himself invokes Tosis and says, what do you mean? The Rashba bring a Rai of Sirius on Amkarhu, but we don't pass in the way, only the Gabe or not. So that's a Machlokas. Balkalpanim, we have the Machlokas in our Simon. The Iker seems to be that Nafal, you don't pay any rent. Well, there is a shita that by Nisraf, which Pashas is the same as Nafal, you do have to pay the rent. And over there in Shin Lamed Dalad, we also have a machlokas about the case of Nafal, about the case where the Soker died. There it seems to be more of an unsettled machlokas, a little bit less clear how we paskin. Now, is there really any difference between Nafal and between Nisraf and between the case where Nisraf, where the property died, versus the case where the tenant died? So the poskim do try suggesting various distinctions. One interesting distinction made by the Erech Shai in his Erech Shai as well as in his Tshuvas, his Shura Shai, he wants to distinguish between Nafal and Nisraf. He wants to say the reason why most poskim, except the Ritva, which you probably didn't see, but the reason why most poskim in the case of Nafal say that you don't owe the rent for any point in time after the Nefila, for the remainder of the lease term outside the Nefila, is because Nafal, he says, we assume in general there must be something wrong with the house. I don't know what happens if there's some kinds of nafal that you can tell are from an external source. There was an earthquake. There was like someone ran a car through the front door. I don't know about that.
Trees, right?
So maybe he learns a nafal. We're not talking about that, but in general, nafal. He says if the house just one day everyone's minding their own business and the house just kind of caves in, he says that usually indicates that there was some kind of structural problem with the house. So it's basically a sort of mekaktos. He says, you bought a house which you couldn't tell, maybe it was internal, but there was something, its heart was rotten. There was something bad about this house to begin with. Shankin Nisraf, he says, nothing wrong with the house, but the house is burned, they catch fire sometimes. Now obviously you can find cases of Nisraf where you can show that it was done with flammable materials, and you can find cases of Nafal with the trees, but in general, Nafal indicates that we're talking about simply an accident, and Nafal indicates there's something wrong with the house, and Nisraf is something that happened afterwards. That's how he wants to reconcile Nafal and Nisraf. Another interesting chiluk that appears in the poskim in the Tshuvas of the Marya Halevi, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Edinger, he wants to say a chiluk as follows. Rashi, when on the Gemara of Avdala, the Gemara that most Rishonim understand says means that you don't pay rent, Rashi mentions the idea of mazla garam. Mazla garam is a very difficult concept. Literally, it means it was his mazel or it was the other guy's mazel. There are various sugyas in Shas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Bastra. The Gemara looks at various types of sales and rentals and other arrangements, and when something goes wrong, the Gemara tries to figure out whose mazel it is. The Gemara brings psukim, that wine is the mazel of this one, or the mazel of that one, or grasshoppers, or this one's mazel, Makas Medina. The Gemara very often says all kinds of very interesting svaras to try to figure out whose mazel it is. It's always very difficult to know what this mazel is. Are we really referring to some kind of supernatural mazel that's the stars, or some other kind of mazel? Is it some kind of idiom that has some kind of legal or choshen mishpat meaning? Very unclear in a lot of these sugyas how metaphysically to take mazel. But one way or another, the Maria Halevi says that he brings Kadmonim who say this, the Sma, and the Maram Padova who say this back in Shin Chaf Aleph, later in Shin Chaf Aleph, they say that Mazlok Garam, based on the kind of things the Gemara says, how we apply the Klal of Mazlok Garam, of whose Mazel the problem is, has to do with who's affected by it. So he says, in the case of Nisraf, there's a difference between a sale and a rental, he says. In the case of a sale, where it belongs totally to the buyer. Now the seller has no connection to it anymore. So there, if it burns down a day after he sold it, a minute after he sold it, buyer's mazel. It's his now. We say it's his mazel. The seller's not affected. So he takes the loss. Mashenkin, a rental, he says, the goof of the property belongs to the landlord. The landlord's going to suffer a lot more from the house burning down than the tenant is. So he says, we can't say mazel of the mazel of the socher was garim, because al karkach, the goof of the bayis belongs to the masker. So we have to say mazel of the masker was garim. So therefore he says, that's why in the case of Nisraf, that's why, or Nafal or Nisraf, he's not coming to distinguish between Nafal and Nisraf. He's saying that's why in the case of Nafal and Nisraf, you don't pay rent. That's why the ikur in the Shulchan Aruch here is, putting aside the Shver Ramah, the ikur in the Shulchan Aruch here is, by Nafal or Nisraf, he says, you would not pay the rent beyond the accident, because we say Mazel of the Masker was Garim. Mashen came, the case in Shin Lama Dalit, he says, the case where the tenant died, that, he says, there's nothing wrong with the house of the Masker. The house of the Masker is still intact. The problem is solely in the affairs of the Socher. He's dead. The state, you know, the person who the estate bought it for, the Socher himself, is dead. That's their problem. That's not the Masker's problem. So there we say, Mazel of the Socher was Garim, and that's why he doesn't have to, that's why the Rashba holds, that's why there's a major sheet over there that holds that the rent is owed for the entire period of the Schirus. At least if he already paid it, he doesn't get it back. There are other Sfaras and other Chalukim here, but we are out of time for tonight.